Hello, you're listening to some website-only content which you have discovered on teacherluke.co.uk. I want to share something really interesting that happened to me recently. I got into a debate with some flat earthers, guys who believe that the earth is flat. It was pretty intense, and you can listen to it all here on this page. What you're listening to now isn't an episode of Luke's English Podcast. It's some website-only content, a post on my website with two bits of audio. Audio 1, which is what you're listening to right now, and Audio 2, an episode of someone else's podcast. I'm going to explain everything in this recording, and the script of what I'm saying is provided on the page just below the two audio players that you can see. So, what happened? Well, do you remember when I recently talked about flat earth conspiracy theories on my podcast? Do you remember that? It was in episode 476 during the sort of holiday diary series. I talked about how some people think that the earth is flat, and I rambled on about it for a while, considering some of the suggestions and theories, like the idea that the world is a flat disc or a plane, that we in fact don't orbit the sun, that the moon isn't what we think it is, that satellites aren't real, that the International Space Station is fake, and even that our idea of gravity is either completely wrong or is a deception, and that the governments of the world are all lying to us about the Earth being a globe. I said that although I hadn't looked into it fully, I thought that all of these things were impossible and even ludicrous, ridiculous. I believe that the Earth is round. So after uploading that episode, I was contacted a few days later by one of the hosts of the Flat Earth podcast, a podcast produced by two guys in the United States of America, Jay and Dave, who are convinced that the Earth is flat and that it's not a globe. They told me that I was wrong about what I'd said in my episode, that the Earth is not a globe, and that they wanted to talk to me about the whole subject. In fact, this is what Dave wrote in the comment section of episode 476. He said, "Hi Luke, you said it yourself, you really haven't looked into it that much." Munch? That's not a word. Much. He said, "You said it yourself, you really haven't looked into it that much. We'd like to invite you on an episode of the Flat Earth podcast to discuss your thoughts on the subject. We're not dogmatic flat earthers or the type that go into a Starbucks and disrupt people. We have answers to all the misconceptions that you have stated on your show. Please reach out to us." So I thought, well, why not let them try to convince me that the Earth is actually flat? I thought it could be interesting to have that conversation and perhaps to have just a friendly debate about the subject. So I got back in touch with Dave by email. I wrote to him and I said, "Okay, I'd be happy to talk to you. Let's do it." And they were serious about it. We fixed a date and a time that would work for all of us. Me, Dave, and his co-host Jay, all of us in different time zones, them in different parts of the United States and me at home in Paris. I was curious and interested, but also a little bit nervous about it, because I thought that their audience might be angry with me because of the comments that I'd made about Flat Earth on Luke's English podcast. I had at one point said in that episode that I thought that it was a load of bollocks. And yes, I did use the word bollocks, but I think I might have got away with that because the word bollocks isn't really a word that they're familiar with in the USA, except that it's on the front cover of an album by the Sex Pistols, which probably works in my favour, if anything. But anyway, I was a bit nervous nonetheless, but also quite excited at the prospect of actually debating with people who thought or who think that the Earth is flat. I say think, actually, because they still think it. I didn't convince them, of course. In any case, I really wanted to have a respectful and grown-up conversation about this with Jay and Dave, and that's why I agreed to talk to them. Then a few weeks ago, We called each other on Skype and we had a conversation about whether or not the Earth is flat or round. And you can listen to what happened in that conversation by using the embedded player at the top of this page. You can listen to the episode of the Flat Earth podcast in which I talked to Day and Jave. And Jave? Who's Jave? I don't know. And who's Day either? You can listen to the episode in which I talked to Dave and Jay and someone else called Jaron. You can listen to the whole thing and see what you think. But let me now, in this audio one, I'm calling it, let me now continue talking about this story, because I've got a few other things I just want to say about it. So what were my expectations ahead of the interview? As I said, I was concerned that their audience would be angry with me, or at least unfriendly and a bit aggressive. And about Dave and Jay, they seemed friendly in the emails. Certainly Dave did, because he's the one I was in touch with. So Dave seemed very friendly in the emails. But I thought that they might give me a slap down, which means an aggressive response designed to put me in my place. So I was a bit concerned by that. I wondered if I would be able to actually have a proper debate with them, because it's hard to talk to people about this kind of thing, especially when they are really convinced of their position. You need lots of specific data. You need scientific knowledge. You also have to be quite careful about the things that they say. A lot of their ideas, need to be fact checked, or at least considered very carefully, to make sure that the evidence that they talk about is valid or reliable, to make sure that the quotes that they use are not taken out of context, and that the logic that they're using is clear and solid. So I was wondering if I'd be able to keep up with their ideas, or if I'd simply be unable to debate with them at all, considering I'm not a specialist, I'm just an English teacher. Having said that, I was also thinking about how I might be able to find holes in the things that they would say, because, you know, I think that they're wrong about the Earth being flat. So I did quite a lot of thinking about their arguments and the things that they would say. I listened to a few episodes of their podcast. I watched a video that they sent to me called The 21 Questions, and really considered the points that they were making, because I am open to the idea that the world is flat. I'm not just going to dismiss the idea just without thinking about it. I am open to the idea. Imagine, for example, if all the things that they said were genuinely true, and that this small group of guys had really stumbled across a global conspiracy, and that their internet research and their testing, their own forms of testing, had uncovered genuine evidence that was irrefutable. We shouldn't be closed to the idea that they're right about this. They might be right. So my position was, okay, guys, I'm not going to tell you that you're crazy. I will believe it if you really convince me, and if I find your points to be utterly watertight, then I'll believe it. I'm open to this. Let's go. But imagine if they were right, though. Imagine if they were right about this, that the Earth is in fact flat, and that there's a huge kind of I'm using the word conspiracy. There's a huge plan in place to try to deceive the vast majority of people, that there's a huge global deception going on. Imagine if they're right about that. Would they be under threat? Right? I mean, if there's a conspiracy to keep this thing under wraps, are these guys in danger? Because we know that when big secrets have to be kept, you know, when there are big secrets that have to be kept, people get killed, right? People disappear. They get murdered to cover up big secrets like government corruption or organized crime. We've seen it loads of times in the past. People who uncover dangerous secrets and then they get sort of, disappeared. Is that an expression? To get disappeared? Not really. They disappear. They get, they might get kidnapped or murdered or something in order to cover up the truth. So if these guys are right about this, they could be in mortal danger if they're right. But I suppose they believe that there's a plan in place to deal with this too, that there is disinformation spread around that makes people just think that these guys are ridiculous. And that's what prevents their ideas from really posing a threat to whoever is keeping this secret. So if that's true, if maybe the only thing that's keeping them safe is the fact that most of us believe it's ridiculous, and people like me, for example, go around saying it's ridiculous, and so no one takes it seriously, maybe that kind of protects them. I wonder if my open-minded approach to their ideas could somehow put them in danger, if you see what I mean. Imagine if nobody thought their ideas were ridiculous and this whole concept started gathering genuine momentum, that the powers that be might want to take action and silence these guys. Now, I'm being hypothetical here, but when you take these ideas seriously, you end up considering all sorts of possibilities. Jay and Dave, Day and Jave, or any of the people I was talking about, Jay and Dave, they don't seem to be paranoid guys to me. The impression I got was that they're really inquisitive and enthusiastic about the subject, and hopefully they have no real reason to fear for their safety. I think they don't have any reason to fear for their safety, because I don't believe that there is a cover-up going on. I think that they don't pose a threat, really. Now, I know that sounds bad. It sounds like I'm saying they're harmless. I don't mean they're harmless, but, you know, what I mean is that actually I don't think they're posing a threat. And so the idea that legitimizing the flat earth idea couldn't put them in danger, I think that's the case. So I think it's fine, because I don't think there's a global conspiracy. So I think these guys are safe, even if, we think it's silly, I think they're still basically safe, because there isn't a global conspiracy that would want to silence them. You see? Now, you can see why this is quite fascinating when you think about it. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the kind of bigger the whole topic gets. It's all about people's belief systems, and also about how to argue your point and how to prove that something is true. It's essentially a philosophical debate, all right? So it's not just about, I don't like the idea that it's just, oh, these people are crazy and that's the end of it. I don't think they're crazy. I think it's a genuine philosophical debate, really. And I love philosophical debates. I mean, I got a D at A level in philosophy at college. I got a D. Yeah, I know it's not a good grade, but I did study philosophy for 2 years between the age of 16 and 18. So I'm, you know, I passed. I wasn't a complete failure. So I have some interest in philosophy, and I like philosophical debates. And I'm really happy that these guys are essentially engaging in quite a profound debate about the nature of existence, and they're questioning the world around them. I'm happy about that. I'm happy that people are at least asking the questions, rather than just, for example, living in a society where no questions are asked. You know, I think it's good to be curious and independently minded, but I do think that there are issues with their reasoning. And I have issues with the evidence that they propose, and I have issues with the way that they apply the mathematical theories that have been used to understand the way that the earth works, or to explain the shape of the earth. I have issues with the thinking. I'm impressed by their rigorous approach. I'm impressed by the fact that they spend a lot of time on this stuff, and they are devoted to the truth. Actually, that's their position. They are devoted to the notion of truth, which I think is a fairly admirable thing. I just think they're getting it wrong. I'm not convinced by the argument yet. I say yet because we've got to keep an open mind, right? And like I said before, if in fact they've got all the right evidence and their reasoning is, you know, basically flawless, if they're right, then they can convince me. I'm ready to be convinced. We've got to keep an open mind about these things. So I was thinking a lot about these sorts of things, but mainly, to be honest, I was concerned that in entering this conversation that I was going to be set up for a smackdown. Okay, that's what I was a bit worried about. So what was the conversation actually like? Well, you can listen to it, as I've said. You can listen to it. But here's my response. So it was actually really enjoyable. Dave and Jay were really hospitable to me. They gave me quite a flattering introduction, joking that they said nice things about how I sound intelligent and that I sound articulate. They were joking that they would sound like stupid Americans compared to my British accent, and that it would be difficult for them to debate with someone who sounded so intelligent and articulate. I assured them that it's all just a trick, that I'm actually not very intelligent at all, and that I only sound clever because of my accent, and we laughed. They were very reasonable with me in the way that they treated me, I mean. They told their audience that the audience would probably hate me, but that they should give me a chance. And then at one point, all of them had been skeptical like me. They'd all at one point thought that the theory that the earth is flat was ridiculous too. So they were nice, but of course they were nice. I mean, these guys aren't crazy or anything, and they're not mean-spirited. They're basically just normal guys who have good intentions. As far as they're concerned, they're working for truth and justice, which are both quite respectable things, right? It's not fair or helpful to brand these guys as weirdos or nutters or things like that. Saying that is both unhelpful and rude. I think we should focus on the things that they're saying, not the people that they are. They really think that they're being lied to on a grand scale, and they want to prove it. Now, I don't think that they are proving it, in my opinion, but they genuinely believe it, and I don't think that they're motivated by hatred or malice or anything. So I was very happy that we all could take part in the conversation in a respectful manner. And after all, that is a basic foundation for this kind of thing. In an argument or a debate or a disagreement, the moment that you lose your temper or start throwing around insulting comments or insinuations, then you've lost the debate, in my opinion. So I had absolutely no plans to do that. And I was really pleased that they didn't do it either. So there were no sort of personal attacks, or no one got angry. It didn't become ugly or anything like that. I think that they might have been annoyed at my position. And they, I mean, Jaron, for example, said that he found it very upsetting listening to the episode of my podcast, and that the things I'd said, you know, sort of upset him. He said that, I mean, I guess he was sort of being serious, but it was kind of funny as well when he said it. He said, I found it very upsetting. But they didn't really make a big deal about it. And in fact, they were totally cool all the time. And I had a good time on their podcast. Also, I should say that the podcast, that the, you know, even though I don't agree with it, with many of the things that are being said, the podcast is well made. The sound quality is great. It's well edited. It's really well presented. On that level, we actually had a lot in common. Just as podcasters, I think we shared some mutual respect in that sense. I also think that they're probably around my age, I imagine. And it's always cool to make contact with people of your age who live in a completely different country to you. So that was nice. We did have some things in common in that sense. So they treated me well, and that was nice. But again, I was a bit nervous about how the conversation would go. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to argue with them effectively or deal with certain details of their arguments. I mean, I was worried about that. I mean, I was worried that I might look a bit stupid, you know. But I was curious to see if they could convince me that the Earth was flat. Now, as I said, they did bring in another guy called Jaron, who, as they put it themselves, is deep inside the rabbit hole. This means that he's gone really deep into flat earth theories. And he's been making loads of videos about the subject. And as they put it, he has answers to everything. So when they told me that Jaron was going to be joining us, I felt a bit like, they're bringing in this guy Jaron, who apparently really knows his stuff. So it's 3-1. So I felt a bit outnumbered. So next question I've got here is, What were the objectives of the conversation for you and for them? Well, I decided that I would just try to let them convince me. And my thinking was this. This is my thinking, right? I was thinking, I believe the earth is round, but I'm not blindly married to the idea. Obviously, I grew up within this paradigm, but I'm definitely capable of questioning it. The reason that I believe it is because I think that the evidence for it is better than the evidence for flat earth. And I don't hide from the arguments of flat earthers. In fact, I've been actively seeking them out, looking for ones that I think are really solid and watertight. I often will seek out kind of versions of the world that that I don't really agree with. I'm interested in that stuff. You know, I don't know why, but I often go on the internet and look for all sorts of people. I read things written by people who I disagree with. I look for some extreme opinions that I disagree with. I want to know what everyone else is thinking. I want to know what all the other ideas are. I don't want to just live in a little bubble. So I've been actively seeking out some of the flat earth theories, looking for ones that I think are really solid and watertight. I haven't really found any yet, to be honest. I'm ready to be convinced, though, that the earth is flat. However, I'm not just going to accept arguments without giving them full scrutiny as much as I can from my position. We need to be careful of confirmation bias, I think, on both sides. Confirmation bias means interpreting evidence in a way that confirms what you want to believe, and this may involve jumping to conclusions. So if their arguments are more watertight than the arguments for round earth, then I will be convinced. So that's what I was thinking. Okay, I was thinking, right, I'm ready to be convinced. Go for it. And I think that it was their objective to try to convert me to flat earth because they wanted to get me on their team, which again was quite a flattering thing to say. I think it was Jay who said, and you'll hear it in the episode, Jay said, you know, this guy seems so intelligent and articulate, thank you, that we have to get him on our team. So I think they wanted to basically convert me. So what was the outcome? Well, you'll have to listen to it and decide for yourself. You'll see the episode embedded at the top of the page where you found the audio that you're listening to now. My part comes after about 19 minutes. So there's about 19 minutes of them chatting about recent news and responding to a few messages that they'd got from listeners and stuff. So after 19 minutes of that, then they start talking about me, and they play some extracts from episode 476, and then they introduce me, and then we start talking about it. So listen to it and decide for yourself, okay? Have I had any reactions from people? Well, when the podcast episode came out, I was worried that I'd get some hatred from the Flat Earth community. I prepared myself for some possibly hateful responses in my inbox or in the comments section of the website. But I'm glad to say that I've had no hateful comments, and I'm really glad to say that because I can't stand seeing that sort of thing. You know, there's plenty of blind hatred bordering on abuse on the internet these days, particularly in the comments section of YouTube videos and things like that. So it's quite refreshing not to have had any of that kind of thing. Touch wood. I'm now touching my head because I can't see anything made of wood here. Touch wood. By the way, touch wood is a superstition. I still don't know why I say touch wood, because I don't really believe in the superstition, but it's just one of those things we do. What is this mysterious power that wood can have over us? I don't know. Anyway, so I did get a couple of nice responses, actually. So I was expecting negative responses. I got a couple of nice responses. One which came from what I assume is a flat earther who sent me an email just to appreciate the fact that I was polite. And the email went like this. I'm not revealing the name. It went, "Hi, Luke, I just listened to your interview on the Flat Earth podcast, and I just wanted to say thank you for being so open-minded, and you were so polite. My first impression of you is that you're a very reasonable person." I'm a very reasonable man. I hope you continue to look into what the guys were saying and make up your own mind. Much respect. All right? Cool. I do. I will continue to look into this stuff, and I will continue to make up my own mind. Thank you for that nice email. And also, I got an email from someone who apparently listens to both my podcast and to the Flat Earth podcast as a skeptic. So this guy's a skeptic of Flat Earth theories. I found that to be quite a coincidence, actually, that this person listens to both. But maybe it's not such a big coincidence, considering how this is the sort of thing I'm interested in. So if I'm interested in this sort of thing, then, you know, it's quite likely that some of my listeners are also interested in it. And I mean, you know, the link to the Flat Earth podcast was in the comments section of my website, so maybe it's not a coincidence. So this message went like this. Dear Luke, I sometimes listen to your podcasts, and I recently also came across the Flat Earth podcast with your contribution. I'd like to congratulate you for your calm and polite chat with the Flat Earthers. I'm an amateur astronomist and, of course, a glober, as they say. In the past few weeks, I started listening to the Flat Earth podcast with a high interest in how a false idea can spread among people in spite of evidence. Flat Earth stuff is the more obvious example, but I realised that a lot of other false ideas happen to be more and more widely accepted. Anyway, it was a pleasure to listen to you politely standing in front of them. Sometimes you lacked the precise answers, and I tried to whisper some to you, but you did a really fair job. Best regards. Well, that's nice. Yeah, I did lack the precise answers in many moments, and you know, as I said, you can decide for yourself how I did in the conversation. Those were two positive ones. The Flat Earth podcast is also on YouTube. They upload their episodes there, and I did have a quick look on YouTube for the comments there under this episode with me in it, and I noticed one from some guy, just his name is ADR, and he wrote this. He said, "Poor Luke. This proves the old adage that those who have not done do teach." Good show, guys, he wrote. So I guess he's using a quote there. I always thought the quote was this, that those who can't do teach, which basically isn't something I agree with. Are you familiar with that phrase? Those who can't do teach, which is, I mean, not a very nice thing to say to a teacher. It suggests that teachers only teach because they can't do anything else. So teachers are essentially sort of failures in other areas of life, and they go into teaching because they can't do anything else. Well, obviously, I don't agree with that. And I think you'll find that teaching is definitely a thing to do, and that teaching isn't just something that people fall into because they've failed at something else. It's actually pretty bloody hard to teach, you'll find, if you ever try it. And there are plenty of people who try to teach and fail at that and end up doing something else. So obviously I'm not going to agree that those that can't do teach, or indeed those who have not done do teach, because I've done loads of things and I teach. So I don't agree with that. Someone else wrote this under their YouTube episode. They wrote, "Was this dude on the Joe Rogan podcast recently? I wish I'd been on the Joe Rogan podcast recently. I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, and he has loads of really high profile, interesting guests. I'd love to be invited onto the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe one day, if Joe Rogan decided to do an episode all about learning English, hopefully I'd be the one he'd get in touch with. But I don't think it's going to happen soon. But, you know, I can hope. But interesting that this person thought that I'd been on the Joe Rogan podcast. Maybe they mixed me up with Louis Theroux. I wonder. Which I find actually very flattering, because Louis Theroux is someone I think is great. And it's also very flattering that this guy could consider me to be a possible guest on the Joe Rogan podcast. So, did they convince you, Luke, that the Earth is flat? By the way, these are questions that I'm imagining you're asking me. I'm just talking about myself in the third person there. Did they convince you, Luke, that the Earth is flat? Well, no. I'm still not convinced. But I admit that I didn't conclusively win the debate by any means. There were plenty of things that I couldn't really answer. For example, there were certain quotes that they said that I couldn't check and that I didn't know. Certain mathematical equations that I couldn't really follow. And certain claims that I couldn't really be sure of. I didn't have all the answers to the questions they asked me. Not all of them. Some of them I feel like I did manage to deal with. I think I asked them some questions myself that they didn't really answer either. But I think I can say that I really considered the things that they had to say to me, and I continue to be curious about the subject in general. I'm not just ignoring it or name-calling or labelling these guys as crazy or anything. Like before, I'm still ready to believe it, and only a truly stubborn and closed-minded person would refuse to even consider the other arguments. I was also happy to spend time with Jay and Dave and Jaron, and I think that I actually got on with them pretty well. I hope they agree with that. I was relieved about that, as I said. And by the end of the conversation, I would have enjoyed going for a beer with them if we'd had the chance. I think it could have been interesting. But having said that, at the moment, I still think they're wrong about the Earth being flat. And guys, if you're listening to this or reading it, Dave, Jaron, Jay, if you're reading or listening to this, you still haven't got me yet, all right? You haven't got me yet, but I guess there's still time. I think Dave told me that it took 6 months for him to turn from being a round earther to a flat earther. So who knows where I will be in 6 months' time. I guess you'll just have to watch this space. They did say that if I became a flat earther, that I would lose a large portion of my audience. They did say that. They said, you know, if you want to lose half your audience, then become a flat earther. So if I become a flat earther, I'll lose a large portion of my audience. So does this mean that if I continue to be a round earther, it's only because I want to keep my audience? Could it not also be true that I will just think that the Earth is round in the future? I mean, if I wanted to get a bigger audience, for example, I could say all sorts of things to appeal to people's desires and prejudices. I could be making all sorts of big promises about English, for example, or about how you can make money by following my steps. Or I could be attracting the attention of certain religious groups, maybe, by talking about religious ideas to appeal to them. But I don't do these things, even though doing them would increase the size of my audience. So increasing my audience is not the only thing that motivates me, because I constantly do things that probably, don't increase my audience. Like maybe even this, doing this right now. I've chosen to talk about a conversation I had with the guys on the Flat Earth podcast on my website, which presents itself as something for learning English. I mean, I should probably be doing, you know, my phrasal verb episodes, right? You know, someone out there will be going, yeah, right, where are your phrasal verb episodes? Well, it's a work in progress. Obviously increasing my audience is not the only thing that motivates me. So if I don't come out as a flat earther, it might just be that I'm still not convinced by the arguments rather than me just wanting to protect my audience. But as I said, who knows where I'll be in 6 months? And by the way, I'm aware that by talking about this here on my website and presenting this to my audience, that some of you in the audience, you might get converted to flat earthism. Well, that's up to you. But just remember, if you consider yourself to be open-minded, then you'll be open-minded about both sides. Being open-minded is not just the preserve of one side of this argument. Now, I'm going to ramble on about this a bit more now because it made me think about things like, for example, how difficult it is to argue using logic and to be sure. It's difficult to be sure about the nature of reality itself, just that kind of thing. So debating Flat Earth with the guys from the podcast made me think about philosophical arguments, logic, and how we talk about and argue about the truth itself. It's a really complicated business, and it's actually very difficult to do properly without falling into certain thinking holes or fallacies of logic. So there are various logical fallacies or thinking holes that are very easy to fall into when talking about this subject, or any philosophical subject for that matter. These are problems with logic or problems with thinking, and anyone can fall into these traps, not just flat earthers, anyone. But here are some of those issues that I've noticed when looking at not just flat earth theories, but also, let's call it bad science or pseudoscience, or even just science itself. Some issues with thinking that I've noticed. And I admit that some of these points could also be applied to my position, which just shows how tricky it is from an armchair position, you know, from just sitting in your armchair in your living room. It's very difficult from that position to prove beyond doubt that something is really true or not. So here are some of those thinking holes or fallacies in logic and so on. So the first one is confirmation bias. This means interpreting evidence in a way that confirms your worldview. Let me start that again. So confirmation bias means interpreting evidence in a way that confirms your worldview. Okay. So looking at evidence and just interpreting it in a way that confirms the way you basically see the world. So interpreting evidence in a way that confirms the conclusions you expect or want. For example, let's take the example of a mass shooting incident. It's a tragic example, especially in the light of what happened just a few days ago in Las Vegas. A horrible mass shooting. Everyone agrees that it was a horrible event. You must have seen it in the news. A man from the window of a hotel used weapons that had been modified to make them into, you know, essentially automatic machine guns. He used them and he shot into a large crowd of people attending a music concert. We're not really sure why he did it. We're not sure whether we should consider it to be an act of terrorism or not, but whatever the reason it happened, it was a horrible. It's the worst mass shooting incident in America's history. Let me rephrase that. I've read that it's the worst mass shooting incident in modern American history, let's say. Horrible. Everyone agrees it's horrible. But then, how do you interpret that event? And how does that make you think about things like gun control laws in the United States? Now, a mass shooting like this can, I think, confirm several opposite points of view. So you could look at that event and it could make you think that we need to control gun laws, or that, you know, we need to try and get rid of guns. Or equally, some people could look at that event and it could confirm to them that people need more access to guns. It depends on the position that you come from. So people who don't like guns might look at that event and say, mass shootings prove that we need to control guns or ban guns, right? But someone who loves guns might look at a mass shooting and conclude that we need more guns because good people need to be able to defend themselves against dangerous people. You see? So if you basically love guns, then you're going to say, look at this, there are dangerous people in the world. We need to give good people guns so they can defend themselves. And people who don't love guns might look at this and go, look at this. People are using guns to kill each other. This is ridiculous. We need to get rid of guns. So the same event, it can be interpreted to reinforce both sides of the argument because of confirmation bias, because you're basically, your worldview affects the way that you interpret an event or a piece of evidence. The same event can confirm wildly different points of view. The people who love guns take it as confirmation that we need more. The people who hate guns take it as confirmation that we need fewer. By the way, I'm not getting into the gun control debate here. That's not what this is about. That's just an example. Confirmation bias is really common, and I think it affects many parts of our lives, and it's something that we must try to watch out for as much as possible, even though it's difficult to notice when it's happening. But we have to try to watch out for it, for example, by constantly challenging our own ideas. We often interpret events in the way that suits our worldview. For example, you can look at footage of the moon landing. Let's say you can look at video footage of the moon landing on YouTube, and you can be completely convinced that it's proof that the moon landing happened, or you can be convinced that it's proof that it didn't happen, depending on how you feel about the thing in the first place. Everyone is vulnerable to confirmation bias, but especially groups like the Flat Earth community. One of the reasons I like Jay and Dave is that I think that they're aware of this. And to an extent, that's why they brought me onto the podcast, so they're not just in an echo chamber where everyone is constantly confirming each other's views without challenging them. Maybe they invited me on because it's healthy to have some sort of debate with someone who's got a different point of view. So respect to that. But I would also like to suggest that they invite other people onto their podcast, that they invite properly qualified scientists on their podcast for debates too, not just an English teacher comedian like me who's dabbled in skepticism. Maybe they need to speak to someone who works for a satellite company, or they need to speak to a lecturer in astrophysics, because that could lead to a genuinely open conversation. Right? So even though they invited me on for a chat and I'm a glober, as they put it, I think that mostly they're interested in challenging the round earth theory, and they tend to have a very open-minded attitude to flat earth. Right? So I'm open-minded, you know, that statement, I'm open-minded, that can mean I'm willing to believe this. Now, obviously, you need to be open to the idea that something like flat earth is true, but we have to be careful that open-minded doesn't become a state of active confirmation of what we want to be true for whatever reason. Being open-minded can be like opening the door to confirmation bias. Flat earthers might say that they're challenging the round earth model, and so they're being good scientists. But what they also do is jump to the conclusion that because the round earth model doesn't stand up in their eyes, that the flat earth model must be true by extension. But this is a whole other idea. Lack of proof for one thing is not proof of something else. For example, if I'm trying to work out what my mum is going to cook for dinner, okay? I'm trying to work out what my mum's going to cook for dinner, and I can't prove that my mum is going to make chicken. I can't prove that she's going to make chicken, let's say. Now, because I can't prove that it's going to be chicken, that doesn't logically mean that it will definitely be fish. It's just that we're not sure it's chicken. You see what I mean? So lack of proof that it's chicken is not definite evidence that it's fish. All we know is that we're not sure it's chicken. Slightly strange example, but I thought I'd use food as an example because it's something we can all relate to. Another point, unreliable evidence, false premises, unreliable sources, or being unable to account for where evidence has come from. So as far as I can see, some of the evidence which flat earthers propose is, I think, quite shaky, and it forms the basis of a lot of other assumptions. So if the foundation of your idea is shaky at the start, the logical steps from that point are likely to go in the wrong direction, ending up in a false conclusion. For example, constructing a house on uneven ground, constructing a house on an uneven foundation. It might look straight at the beginning, but by the time the whole house is built, it could end up really wonky and even unsafe to live in. The roof might fall off or something. So the foundation has to be absolutely solid. And if it's not, then each step in the chain can lead you further and further away, or further and further in the wrong direction. Another point is the grey area between evidence and speculation. So first of all, talking about evidence, some of it might be shaky in the first place, and then moving seamlessly into speculation about things, and then those speculations becoming theories which are considered to be as valid as other theories such as gravity. It seems to me the way it often goes in these conversations, that we start with concrete or so-called empirical evidence, which then the next step is to start making speculations on top of that evidence, and we move from a discussion of actual testable evidence into just speculating about theories. For example, deciding that the Earth must be flat because you don't see how the round Earth model can work. So talking about, let's say, mathematical formulas that seem to prove that Earth is round and calling those things into question, and then assuming, and then sort of taking that further after questioning that the Earth is round, then just basically sort of speculating on what the flat Earth could look like. And, you know, and for example, assuming that Antarctica is the limit of our world, and then speculating about what's beyond Antarctica. For example, it must be this, or it could be that. So the grey area between evidence and into speculation, I think it's easy to slip from evidence into speculation. We've got to watch out for that. Another point is relying on first-hand evidence. For example, human experience, or what you see with your own eyes, or considering first-hand evidence to be the best form of evidence, when actually it's perhaps the worst kind of evidence, because first-hand evidence or first-hand experience as evidence is often the least reliable. And often, you know, you'll hear flat earthers saying, just, you know, I don't see how the Earth is flat, or just take a look with your eyes. The Earth doesn't look round to me. Why are the bottoms of clouds flat? The Earth must be flat too. Why can't we see the curvature on the horizon? But the problem is, just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. It might be a failure of your ability to see rather than evidence that this thing is not a thing. You know, often we just don't know what we're looking at, and often our eyes deceive us. Another thing is jumping to conclusions. So taking one thing as true and then making a logical leap to another conclusion. For example, the idea that NASA photos of the Earth are fake, or some NASA photos of the Earth are fake, therefore they're all fake. Or some scientists are motivated mainly by money or status, therefore they're all motivated by money or status, and therefore we can't believe anything that any of them say. Or the idea that because some governments lie to their people, or we know that governments have lied to their people in the past, and we know that there is corruption in the world, therefore all governments are lying about this. You know, just because some governments have lied about some things, they must be lying about this. You see, jumping to conclusions. Another thing is cherry picking of evidence, cherry picking, sort of selecting evidence to suit the theory, making the evidence fit the theory. For example, picking out certain statements by scientists that seem to support the theory. For example, taking some moments when, for example, NASA astronauts say something that seems like a moment of truth. For example, that they faked some pictures of the Earth. So then, you know, some quotes from NASA scientists talking about how they faked a picture of the Earth. So when the accounts seem to suit the flat Earth theory, NASA are leaking the truth. But when it doesn't suit the theory, NASA can't be trusted. So it's just cherry picking. Like in this case, yeah, NASA admitted to the truth, but in this case, they're lying. So how do we know when they're lying and when they're not lying? For example, one of the arguments is this, that NASA pictures of Earth are fake. Okay. The reasoning is that one NASA photographer admitted to using Photoshop to create a composite image of the Earth from space. Okay, he admitted it. He said, yeah, I used Photoshop. I took these photos and put them together and I made the sea look a bit bluer. And I kind of added some elements to so that we can see the continents and things. And I made this composite picture. Okay, now there is proof. You know, he said that. Okay, and he did make a composite picture. But while that's true, it's not necessarily true that therefore this is proof that all of NASA's photos are fake. It's true that some NASA pictures are made up. I mean, they are compositions made from a number of different pictures arranged together, maybe in Photoshop, because it's hard to get a good-looking picture of the Earth. it's really big and you need to be quite far away from it. You need to get the right kind of camera. You need a really decent picture. So it's necessary sometimes to take a bunch of photos and stitch them together, add some layers of color and so on in order to get a nice looking picture of the globe Earth. So some NASA pictures might be photoshopped, but this doesn't mean that the Earth is not round. It just means that some photos have been edited. Okay, so this is an example of cherry picking the evidence or jumping to conclusions that some photos are fake, therefore they're all fake, and therefore the Earth is not round. Also, bad faith representations of evidence. Bad faith representations. I don't want to say dishonest presentation of evidence because it might not be intentionally dishonest to misrepresent something. It might just be confirmation bias that leads people to do this. For example, presenting something as evidence of flat earth that isn't really evidence as flat earth, that was never really intended to be evidence of flat earth. For example, misquoting someone or quoting someone out of context and then using that as proof that they said that the earth was flat. Or presenting an old map that was created years ago to help us to calculate time differences around the world, and which appears to present a flat Earth model, but it wasn't designed originally as a flat Earth map. It's just a 2D representation. So taking that map and then presenting that as evidence of flat Earth is to distort the original purpose of that map. See, there's an example of that. I've seen it in videos that there's a certain map that's presented as evidence that, you know, the Earth could be flat, but it's just a map. It's just a 2D representation. It's not, it wasn't originally designed to prove that the Earth is flat. It was originally designed as a way of helping us to calculate traveling times around the Earth. Another idea or a fallacy is if it's old, it's true. For example, suggesting that ancient civilizations or medieval engravings or old Buddhist texts or old maps seem to show that the Earth was flat. Suggesting that as if somehow these old texts are somehow more valid or more truthful. Just because it's old doesn't make it true. In fact, it's quite the opposite, probably. Lack of evidence for one thing. Here's another fallacy. Lack of evidence for one thing works as proof for something else. I think I've mentioned this one already. For example, we can't prove the Earth is round, therefore it's flat. Or I can't prove there's no afterlife. Okay, I can't prove that there is no afterlife. I can't prove that heaven doesn't exist. But it doesn't mean that there is an afterlife. Just because I can't prove that it exists doesn't mean that it exists. It just means I can't prove it. Lack of proof for one thing doesn't give proof to something else. Other fallacies of that nature might be, for example, that Einstein said it was impossible to prove in a mechanical way that the Earth is round, and that only theoretical or mathematical models could do that, which I think is a claim that needs to be verified anyway. So just because we can't make a mechanical test, only theoretical tests are valid, therefore the Earth isn't round. Or because only mathematical theories can be used to explain Earth's shape, all abstract theories become valid too, including the speculations that we're just making up. Treating speculations as theories, or mixing up the words hypothesis and theory. So a hypothesis is either a suggested explanation for an observable phenomenon or a reasoned prediction of a possible causal correlation among multiple phenomena. That's complicated. What I mean is that basically a hypothesis is a suggested explanation. But a theory is a tested, well-substantiated, unifying explanation for a set of verified, proven factors. So speculations about the shape of the Earth are not theories until they've been fully tested. So they're just hypotheses. So a hypothesis is not a theory. A suggestion or a speculation is not a theory. It's a hypothesis. Another thing is just not understanding the maths. So it's quite possible that flat earthers don't have the expert level of mathematical knowledge to understand the subject. And neither do I, by the way. So, you know, I'm subject to this one as well, that we just might not be in a position to make proper judgments about this because we just don't understand the maths. So, like, either the mathematical theories are just wrong and the Earth can't be round, or these guys just don't really understand the maths. Now, which one is more likely? I don't mean to be rude, but it's possible, isn't it, that Dave and Jay and Jaron are kind of getting the maths wrong. I think it's possible. And then the final point here is just trust and the belief in a deception. So a lot of this comes down to whether you basically just trust ideas which you haven't seen yourself. And when you believe that there's a deception or a conspiracy going on, so when you decide that there's a deception going on, that people are lying, like that the government is lying, when you decide that, then it's easy to just discount certain evidence as being fake or part of the deception. Okay, so for example, I think the Earth is flat. Come on, you know, like someone says, I think the Earth is flat, and they say, come on, prove that it isn't flat. And someone else goes, well, how about pictures of the Earth from space? And the person goes, they're fake. Well, what about satellites? They're fake as well. What about the International Space Station? That's fake. But my brother went into space and he saw it for himself. Well, he's been brainwashed or he's part of the conspiracy. So, you know, just sort of labeling these things as being fake ends up being sort of, I guess it's sort of a convenient way of just dealing with, you know, evidence. Now, perhaps these things are fake. Or maybe it's just a way to block out the evidence that disproves your theory. In the end, the conspiracy or the idea of a deception becomes a sort of tool or maybe even a trap that erases the evidence that disproves your theory. The conspiracy, the idea that governments are lying, is almost impossible to disprove because it relies on the assumption that information is being kept from us. We can only speculate on who is part of the conspiracy, and these speculations are presented as evidence, but where the hell is the information coming from? How can I, like, if someone says to me, the government is lying about the shape of the Earth, how can I argue with that idea? I can't really, because I'll say, well, no, they're not. And then the other person goes, well, yes, they are. And it's just your word against mine. But if you say that the government's arguing, how do you know that how do you know that the government is lying? How do you know that? How did you get that information? Maybe you're just guessing, you're speculating, you're saying, well, they must be lying because that's the only way that you know, we can explain this. And they must be lying because I think that the Earth must be flat because this mathematical equation doesn't work. So blah, blah, blah. Therefore, the only logical conclusion is that the governments of the world are lying. Well, there may be just a bad link in your logical reasoning. You know, as I said, some of these points could be applied to my position too, or any position, including scientific ones. Things like confirmation bias are things that can affect everyone. These are issues that anyone faces when attempting to argue a complex position. Conventional scientists are subject to things like confirmation bias and other issues too, but that doesn't mean that all conventional or mainstream science has to be rejected completely. We shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's an expression for you, learners of English, to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's when, let's say you want to, you've been washing your baby in the bath in a tub and you want to get rid of all the water. But if you're not careful, you'll get rid of the baby as well. Similarly here, you might say, well, we're looking at all the evidence. We want to get rid of the evidence that we consider to be unreliable. But you also end up getting rid of lots of good evidence too. You know, if you're throwing away science, all of it, then you're going to throw away a lot of good science as well. So, you know, watch out. Make sure you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's a question of trust. I think it comes down to a question of trust. Do you trust what you're told? And who do you trust? NASA scientists or Dave and Jay? Do you trust your own senses, the things that you can see? Or do you trust the complex things that we're told by various scientists and teachers? Now, if you listen to this episode of the Flat Earth podcast, if you've got the time after listening to an hour of me going on about this, then let me know what you think. It's quite long. that episode. We talked and talked for ages, and we could have gone on much longer, but there's no end to this debate when we're essentially discussing the nature of truth and reality, you know? But let me know what you think if you listen to it, and I'll let you make up your own mind about the shape of the earth. One thing I'd like to ask from you, though, is if you consider making a comment on Dave and Jay's episode on their SoundCloud page or something, or on their YouTube channel, if you're going to leave a comment, please be respectful and friendly, okay? Dave and Jay were both, and Jaron, they were all very polite to me, and I think it's only fair that we return the same courtesy to them. Even if you don't really agree with their position, as I said, one of the things I liked about this experience was that we were friendly and civil with each other, and I want to keep it that way, okay? Also, Dave, Jay, Jaron, if any of you are listening to this, then I'm sorry that I haven't been converted to the flat earth position yet. But who knows, I might change my mind if I feel like it's really what's going on. And I hope that you feel I've been fair, because I have made an effort to be fair. And at the end of the day, or in fact at any time of the day, whatever the shape of the earth, we still have to go to work every day. We still have to pay the bills. We still have to fall in love. We have to fall in love. We don't have to. We do. We still fall in love. We make friends. We laugh about stupid things. And we look after our loved ones. And I think that we all have these things in common. Thank you for listening to all of this and for reading it too, if you, indeed you have been reading it. And if you are a flat earther, do you fancy a pint? Let's go to the pub, shall we? Let's go to the pub and have a beer, and we'll have a friendly chat about all of this. I'll buy you a drink. How about that? In fact, if you're not a flat earther, you're welcome too, of course. Let's all go to the pub and have a drink and some peanuts and a game of pool or something. And if the night goes well, we could end up in karaoke or something. And I'll sing Around the World by Daft Punk, which is an easy one, isn't it? Because it's literally just around the world, around the world, around the world, around the world. Not the greatest karaoke song in the world, but I would sing Around the World by Daft Punk. And you can sing, I don't know, Man on the Moon by REM, if you like, and we'll have a good time. And ultimately, isn't that what it's all about? Let's just enjoy our time on Earth, regardless of what shape it is. Okay, all right then. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.